You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
2 p.m.
Are you podcasting without me? Is that what's going on? You're running around without...
Imagine if that was the case.
Is that what's happening? I got to check your gain, make sure you haven't touched your gain.
The gain has not been touched. It is at 2 p.m.
You know,
should it be higher? Should it be lower? Where am I at? This is my...
No. You're good.
Listen, all right.
We're recording. Let's not give the people too much behind the scenes.
No. Tell me.
I am in a race against time.
Uh-oh.
Because it is 8 a.m. here.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I ate Ethiopian food.
So are you podcasting from the toilet?
I am. It's the things might start percolating. There might be a little bubble in my little belly, which is a belly, by the way. Now, everybody, I finally got my girlfriend to admit that I am a slob.
You're a big old fat boy.
I'm a big old fat boy. And once people in your life confront you with the reality, you are on your way to addressing it. So I now run it's only been about 3.5 miles a day. But it's an improvement over my 24-hour Elden Ring binge, and I think all this young people using the word accountable, they sound incredibly stupid.
Yes, annoying.
Well, it's the new emotional labor. Remember emotional labor? It's gone.
Oh my god!
Now everything is accountability. So
hold up. No one on earth is ever going to hold me accountable for anything. I'm not going to allow anybody to.
No, maybe a court, you know?
Well, I mean, if it comes to that, but no other person without that amount of qualification is ever going to hold me accountable. Yo, who, imagine thinking that you have some kind of authority to exercise over someone that you would, what the fuck is wrong with you?
By the time this conversation is done, I will sound like Ayn Rand because I get very – this is my biggest trigger point is people believing that because they self-elect to lecture you that they should have control over your life. It's when I think about it, I get weird. So for our listeners, I know a lot of you had a rough one because Roe v. Wade stresses you out.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to trigger some of you.
Uh-oh.
For lack of a better word.
Uh-oh.
The way that you feel about that is exactly, and you can be mad at this. You can say that these things are not equivalent. That's fine. You can be a little sourpuss. That is how I feel about the conversation around freedom of speech. That is exactly like the way that you feel that your rights are being stripped from under you and you are mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. That's how I feel anytime people use the word Elon Musk. I feel as though I am under some type of siege and I have to moderate my emotions to not
just
go off the handle all the time. So
whatever you just said,
I
lost it. So you could have said the most deranged, offensive things and I'd be none the wiser.
Man, I really should have used that opportunity. I said something relatively reasonable, just personal. But you got any Roe v. Wade takes? Those are always popular.
I mean, we could talk about how it is literal blackmail, right? It's like literally the Democrats blackmailing you. And also that it kind of, I mean, it's going to work, right?
Well, all right. So I saw all of the everybody. We'll keep this short. I saw all of the. I'm not a Dem anymore because I'm mad at Democrats. Echo the fact that Democrats had an opportunity to, as they say, codify this law and make it so it was essentially enshrined, right? But they opted not to. After Joe Biden promised to, they've just been sitting on it. And now the question is this a work? Is it a work? When you don't do the bare minimum, you start to look suspect. So are the Democrats playing 4D chess here? I don't know. But it's really weird that when you tell me you want a law and you have all the means to do so, and then you fail to do it, are you bad at your job or are you really good at your job? And this is part of the game.
Oh, I think it's that. I mean, well, look, I'm not going to say they're really good at anything. I mean, they're good at being intense scumbags. That's how this whole thing reads to me. I think they maybe realize that they have nothing to offer people in the way of any other sort of forward movement of any kind of progressive agenda, that it's just not either not feasible or they don't want to do it for various reasons. So the fact that this is back on the table is a way in which they can campaign on a thing that a lot of people feel very strongly about and will make them have to vote Democrat. I mean, like, look, if I mean, my two home states are extremely liberal places. I don't anticipate, you know, if Roe v. Wade gets, you know, thrown in the garbage like it seems like it's going to be, I don't anticipate this affecting my local communities. However, you know, it is, you know, it will. I mean, it's blackmail that works. It will vote. It will motivate me to vote for pro-choice candidates that will protect that that right. So it's horrendously scummy because the Democrats have not, especially in these states, have not done anything for me, you know, or any, like, they've truly done nothing. And now to prevent a cretinous Republican from getting on the getting into government and overturning these things and on a state level, I will unfortunately have to uphold the control of the Dems. Although I really don't think I could vote for Gavin Newsom ever, so I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, here's a thought. Do you think that increasingly we do not? This is just a broad question. It's obviously a leading question. Do you think broadly we don't care about personal privacy anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing that many people don't understand. The Roe v. Wade was hinged on the right to privacy. That's mm-hmm. that's the right that it supposedly hangs on, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution. So this is very hazy. All right. So for our foreign listeners, the Supreme Court's job is to interpret the Constitution in the application of new law, right? That's the idea, is that we have this sacrosanct document that evolves, so to speak, but it has to be – these core values have to be based on this old document. Now, this is in some respects kind of admirable, I guess. It's an interesting, oh, we're hanging on to our values sort of thing, but it's also stupid because obviously something written – a long time ago, it's difficult to make it apply, right? Unless it becomes a religious thing, because how could something be a perfect document, right? Times change. So, but their job is to interpret the Constitution. There is no right to privacy in the Constitution. It is an implied right, they say, right? Because other laws have taken where Roe v. Wade arrived and said before that, there's some precedent, they believe. That's what it's based on. But it's not based on the Constitution. They're constitutional scholars. They're supposed to figure this out. So anyway, it just makes – I became very curious when I was reading about Roe v. Wade and how it hinges on the right to privacy. If we are at a place where we don't value privacy anymore, how do we expect laws that are based on privacy to stand? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do we think that – I'm not suggesting that because we don't give a fuck about our Twitter searches or our Google searches or other that – there's a direct line to taking away reproductive rights. But what I'm saying is, are all of these things of a piece, so to speak? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense to me. It's just surprise. I think what takes a lot of people off guard, although, you know, we talked about this months ago, and the fact that this is now essentially a conservative court, you know, it doesn't surprise me that these types of things like are being relitigated and ultimately overturned. I mean, I think this is rightly been characterized as sort of the agenda of the American right for it's truly in wrestling terms long booking. It's a it is a this is has been a long fought struggle amongst them to ultimately lead to this place. That being said, I mean, I think what takes people by surprise is the fact that this has been quote unquote settled law for nearly 50 years. And it doesn't, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, I believe, what was the segregation one? Was it like Plessy versus Ferguson or whatever? Like that was settled and that ultimately, thankfully, was overturned and stuff. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, here's my question, right? So as I was saying before that this is sort of like seemingly it's blackmail into voting for Democrats. I mean, this decision will come, I believe, in either June or July. If they overturn it, then what is, I mean, it's not like anyone can save Roe v. Wade. It seems like it's going in the garbage. Biden could, with a majority, or by, you know, he could perhaps codify into law. But if he's not going to do that, and if they are going to trash Roe v. Wade, then what exactly is the motivation to vote for Democrats? Is it so that they can protect? Is it just like if this becomes just a state thing, then you'll have to rely on a pro-choice Democrat? Is that what it is?
I mean, I don't know. They're going to, as you said, they're going to do the whole only we can protect you thing over and over again. And nobody is going to ask, including them, or particularly them, is going to ask, why didn't we protect you when we had the opportunity? Oh, I don't know. Let's not think about it. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to say it's very funny to me that because most of us, including you and I, don't really understand how anything works. You can just come to people with the most emotionally based sloganeering, and people just say, "Yeah, that sounds good. I'm a very busy person," right? So if Democrats now say Republicans are trying to strip you of your reproductive rights, only we can protect you. Nobody is going to say, previously, when you had the power to protect me, why did you not do so? Why would I trust you a second time? And I see these political analysts say that this is going to cost Democrats because people are going to start asking questions. No, they will not. I assure you that nobody on my timeline is asking any questions whatsoever. So that's why I think this is a work. I'm now like completely, I don't know what's past a red pill. I'm on a cosmic pill right now where I really think that all of these people are playing quote unquote 4D chess with your life. And that's it. For those of you that are very concerned about Roe v. Wade, if you're talking about for a 16-year-old girl, that's I understand that's complicated. If you're talking about for yourself, the only thing I can say is, as cold as this might sound, I hope it doesn't sound cold from me. I think you just have to move someplace where your values are going to be maintained, because I don't think that these people have on the national level have your best interests at heart, period.
Oh no. I mean, but it's to me, it's more, you're on the hyper red pill. I'm on the hyper black pill. I mean, like if we keep doing this thing where we're essentially, as cliche as it sounds, we're like really just like breaking ourselves off into two separate countries with two completely separate, value systems that occupy certain states, right? Like we're trying to make this like cohesive thing work, but we keep forcing people keep reorganizing themselves into camps, right? Whether it's digitally in echo chambers online or whether it's like literally physically in the places they live. And we're all just going to be further and further apart from each other. Who really loses in this? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not talking about Roe v. Wade. I'm talking about like people that really that feel totally fucked over by both Republicans and Democrats and don't feel that their values are represented by either of these fuckers or either of these, you know, whether it's a red state or a blue state. Like, I fucking hate the Democrats. I fucking hate them. I hate their face. I hate their moralistic bullshit because it is so paper thin and fugazi. I can't stand them. I can't stand that they are, as far as like major political representative arbiters go the closest to my values, because they're not, because they just don't fucking believe them. Like, at the end of, like, at least for conservatives, it's like, yeah, they might be totally grifting, lying scumbags, but like, if your moral center is that, you know, life begins at conception, well, you just got a big win from your conservative representatives. So you have at least some reason to like these fuckers, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, although increasingly Republicans are a different type of thing. Sorry, everybody. We're gonna say something humorous shortly. I promise you. So, increasingly, like, Donald Trump was elected not because of people who are really into babies. Do you know what I'm saying? He was elected in large part because there's just this pushback to the culture war, and that person wants to that person abortion. Roe v. Wade was settled. And they don't care to talk about it anymore. They're fine with the law of the land, and they don't want to engage in this. So I think this hurts Republicans in a lot of ways. It hurts everybody. This is just, look. Regardless, I'm certain. The majority of our listeners are disaffected liberals or progressives. That's what they are. Yep. I'm certain that we have a few conservatives. And there's probably a unacknowledged right winger or two in our listenership as well.
Yeah, there might be still wokesters that for some reason won't leave the camp.
Self-hating wokesters, yeah, and then 3%ers, militiamen, which we do have, by the way. I've told you it's really weird when they DM me, but I'm not mad. Thank you for your listenership. So. Anyway,
patreon.com/worst possible timeline.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. The thing is that person is not looking to relitigate Roe v. Wade. The average person who to our listeners, you might still see the world as conservative versus progressive, et cetera, et cetera. It's not really like that. Those ideas have all shifted. And I would fancy to guess that your average conservative is more interested in winning the next election than they are in relitigating Roe v. Wade. That's it. So I think that this is a weird move, it's going to be weird for Republicans, because I don't think that they back this court decision. Now, some of our listeners are going to say, of course they do. They're Republicans. They're scum. Yeah, okay, I get it. You're tribal. You can't think. I understand. But there's a great many of them who themselves have gotten abortions, who have gotten their wives abortions. They don't care about this. They want to win. Let's just say this. Both sides are wholly without any scruples. They don't care. Yeah. So, like, whatever posturing they're doing is completely false. I don't even believe that the Democrats who are seizing on this moment really care about reproductive rights. Nobody cares. Right. Okay. So we're all on the same page with that.
No, they don't. Well, they don't, because, I mean, if they did, there would at least, I would think if they did, there would be some concerted effort to, as has been said to death this past week or so, codify it into law. Right. If there was any actual investment in it, there are things that could be done that could federally defend this right, but they choose not to, because I think it's because they want it on the table, because they want, and I think that is part of what you're saying, is that, you know, Republicans, as far as these midterms went previously to this news coming out, they had the shit in the bag.
Yep.
Like, their job is easy as shit right now. They don't have to do anything, but this being on the table now may sway some people to, or will A, mobilize Democrats, and B, maybe sway some potential independents or people that might have voted Republican. This will bring them to maybe the Democrat side. So yeah, it does kind of potentially fuck over Republicans in some way. Now I also think there are plenty of pro-life or weird. I mean, that's the thing, right? There used to be like a sizable Christian right. I mean, a lot of the, even 15, 20 years ago, the Republicans were kind of defined by this moral majority Christian right. Right.
Yep.
Like that still exists.
No longer. Yeah, but no longer.
But it's not. But it's not. Yeah, the party's not so dominated by that anymore.
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
All right, let's talk about Doctor Strange or something.
That sounds more torturous than fucking Roe v. Wade talk.
No, let's pivot to something that is within our purview, something that we actually have a grip on.
Kensington, Philadelphia.
Oh, why don't you tell me about your latest Kensington vids? God, well, by the way, I follow somebody. Some people are going to know who I'm talking about. I follow somebody on social media who is – in such a low down Kensington space right now that it is, you don't know what to do for them because you can't throw them money anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's bleak. Eric, I want to thank you for not being hooked on drugs. I think it would have made, I think it would have made the podcast more frustrating.
Almost definitely.
I'm not gonna say shit. I'm not gonna say.
Wow.
Shit. I get in trouble every fucking time because a lot of our listeners are drug addicts, and a lot of our listeners get angry when the straight edge guy talks about your drug problem. Enjoy your drug problem. None of my business. Go on.
Wow. Okay. You've got that much shit that you're not even going to talk about it. I mean, I could talk about it. Kensington just gets worse and worse.
Tell me about it.
I'm surprised you haven't been keeping up with it, but it's you know how we used to watch
I'm in a home with an 8-year-old now. He doesn't want to
listen.
He wants to play Fortnite all the time. He does not want to play Kensington.
But I think it's important that the kids know. Mm. I think he needs to know what exists beyond his Fortnite walls.
You think I should make him watch videos of people shooting dope in the street?
I think he needs to subscribe to Philly Dom. And who does walking tours of the streets. It's really funny. So he's a black guy from Philly, talks about how he grew up there a lot, how he's seen the neighborhood change. And he just walks down Kensington and sees this, you know, people shooting up and little encampments and stuff. And he just walks by and he goes, "Oh, this is not good. We got to do something about this, folks." I love how candid he is about it. It's great. And he just walks around and he keeps saying the same thing. I don't know. He says it like three times in one video where he's like, "It's chilly out today. Chilly in Philly." Like he said, he keeps saying chilly. But yeah, I've seen footage of Ukraine that looks better than what's going on in Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia. Yeah, it's not good. It's really not good. One might call it a crisis, but you know, people don't seem to care.
No, people don't care.
The locals are now referring to it as Zombie Land.
Okay.
The park around the corner from Kensington is called Needle Park.
It's funny that they, so Kensington goes by the Badlands and also the Black Hole and Zombieland. Why do they get so many cool names?
I think it's because they got culture.
Yo, Phil, I was trying to explain Philadelphia to somebody that never been there.
It's a blight on the fucking earth.
The question was, but why do they like it? And I said, that is the question. That is the question. We've arrived someplace.
I really want to make it a mission. I never want to go back there for the remainder of my time on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll be there three more times this year.
Probably.
So I can't even really talk. Imagine my last time in Philadelphia. like a gang has told me I can't go back or I'm retiring from touring music or whatever, and I just get to do the thing, you know? Like, I just get to be like, hey, Philadelphia, we meet again. I finally get to say what has been on my mind for so many years.
So you've toured the United States many, 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 many times over the course of maybe going on two decades. In your estimation, is it the worst American city?
It's tough because Houston and Detroit continue to exist.
But you know what? I think we have to cut Detroit a little slack because they degraded against their wishes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we can't shoot them too much bail because when your entire economy hinges on one industry, what do you want? Like, what are we doing here? It would be like if everybody sold Beanie Babies. The only industry we have is Beanie Baby sale and resale. Well, Beanie Babies go away, there's going to be a problem for the town, you know? So I can't, by the way, this space I'm in is getting pretty fragrant right now. Do you know I'm working in a garage again?
How do you feel about it?
I love it. I love a garage.
Wow.
So my girl was like, are you sure you don't want to use the spare bedroom as an office? And I said, no, that's not my vibe. I said, I want the garage. Wait till I start. I might buy a webcam today. I left mine in the apartment. So you can actually start webcamming with Razer Kiyo.
Yeah, we also have a ring light.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you could do some real streaming.
Yeah, we can do some OnlyFans.
What do you think about me just doing a streaming thing that is like ChatterBait? ChatterBait, is that the one? ChatterBait, where I'm not masturbating, but where
live Jasmine.
Where I just talk to strangers. Live Jasmine. Yes. No, where. I just entertain strangers for a full 2 minutes on whatever they want to talk about. Like if they call in and they're like, praise to Allah, I'm about to take out this theater. I'll be like, all right, man, you're going to go the full 2 minutes. I guess we could talk about it. Would that be a good show?
I mean, you know, I've wanted to do a call-in show forever. I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about.
But a lot of times those people have topics. This would just be somebody calling in and they entirely decide the topic. It's not like sports radio. It's not like that. It's like, I just listen to them. I just go, uh-huh. Okay, all right. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, you're going to kill 32, huh? You hope? Yeah. Did you lock the doors? How are you going to do it?
Last time I said that we were gonna do messages more often.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should do messages.
Oh, instead of talk about the minutia of Roe v. Wade for an hour? Yeah, that sounds good. I think we lost all our listenership because we attacked BPD women on the last podcast.
that might be true. Okay.
Listenership is down.
Someone, we're down 30%. No, people liked our BP, although there was some clarification that I think through CBT you can sort of I mean, it doesn't work for everybody, but there, you know, you can CBT your way out of BPD. And as I did a quick Google search, CBT stands for cock and ball torture.
Yes. And you can, it can help you manage your BPD.
Yeah. Yeah. So get yourself, if you have BPD, get yourself a little cock and ball torture and, yes. And you'll be good to go. You won't burn down your boyfriend's, parents' house because of a perceived slight at Thanksgiving.
Yo, can we talk about real quick? Why does Amber Heard keep lying?
I think she's like a bad person.
But I mean, here's why I ask, because every time she does, somebody on the internet immediately catches her in the lie. Like, she'll say things like, I couldn't wear short sleeve shirts because of all the bruises. And then people will be like, oh, you mean this trip to Milan? And they'll just find her in like topless. And they're like, yo, why do you keep doing things that are easily refuted? Whenever I've had somebody lie on me, I've always thought the weirdest part of it and the part that proved them like probably unwell was how much ammo they gave me going the other way. You know what I mean? Like, I would always be like, wait a second, this is an easily disprovable lie. Why you do this? Why not prove something vague? Why not say something vague that I like can't defend? Why is she, is this proof that she's not doing great mentally?
Yeah. I think people like her are kind of enraptured in their own world. Right. But it's also like, I mean, we talked about it. Listen, we don't have to get wrapped up in this fucking BPD conversation again, but they, you know, typically there might be delusions associated with it. Right. So it's not necessarily that she's lying. It's just that she's like, has a,
she believes
false memory.
She believes something that's not real. Okay. That's that's the answer. Whatever. I just,
right. Like in her brain, she had bruises, and then you can look into it and be like, oh, clearly you did not.
Yeah. All right. Whatever.
Which makes the whole thing, the fact that she's on, like, man, I think I've said this before, but like, I'm at this point in my life now where it's like, sometimes, like, you can say like, hey, you know, maybe someone who, is like a big activist or whatever, and they get really like riled up about things. And I'm kind of like, I might agree with them, but like the way in which I express myself is like, damn, like, you know, maybe like I'm not as engaged as them. And I think that's literally
that's crazy.
Yeah. But like, no, I guess what, my point is like, yo, I think the differences between people, like, I think it literally has to do with our like, the meat in our brain, right? Like, I think my brain is not as formed as someone else's part of their, like, as someone else's brain. Like, their brain has a certain development in a certain area that makes them a certain type of person, right? So, but then that calls into question, it's like, you know, how can, if that's the case, if we are all, like, at the whim of our brain meat, then how does that make us, like, how does that make you culpable of anything? You know, because it's like, you can't help it, right?
Well, yeah, this is the free will argument that, you know, a lot of people just maintain. There's whatever. There's like a new atheist take on free will that is, to me, essentially Calvinist, which is just like, you're not, it's, you don't got it. And that's a really crazy idea, because then how do you hold anybody accountable?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they say like people that commit suicide late in their life, it's that there's like a certain part of the brain where like, it's actually like a physical like tissue that like, as you get older, wears away. And like, when you were younger, like, you didn't go through with it because this piece of tissue was literally the connective tissue that like has to do with restraint. And it's like, when you hit a certain age, like, that tissue just like, it just degrades over time and you don't have it anymore. And then bop, you fucking, you curl yourself off a fucking Marriott. So like, You know, that's crazy to think about. That's crazy that like you couldn't possibly restrain yourself. Like you really don't have control. Like, that's crazy. I don't know. I don't like it.
You think it's going to go? You think your tissue is going to go away?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, is there actually a spirit or something? Like, is there like, where does the mind and the body and the brain begin? And is there like a, like, if someone told me, like, if a doctor looked at my brain and said, yeah, your restraint tissue, it's got maybe a year left, you know? But it's like, if I know that, can't, like, wouldn't I just be able to, like, channel that energy and just be like, yo, it, like, or like, am I going to, like, wake up like a robot and just, like, all of a sudden my legs are going to, like, force myself in a certain direction? I'll have, like, absolutely no control over it.
I don't know. This is that BPD conversation.
I don't know, man. I can't even fathom how stupid. I'm going to pin this on me.
Yeah, you just sounded when you were like, if the spirit doesn't penetrate the blood brain barrier.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's legit, though.
We're not going to sound that smart. That's a fact.
No, but like, it's, does the body rule the mind, or does the mind rule the body? I don't know. It's fucked up to think about.
Hit us with some entertaining messages.
All right, let's go.
Hey guys, my name's Kenzie. I'm actually from Philly. I really love when you guys do the Kensington episodes, because when I was in high school, my dad, who was in jail until I was 15. Used to like drive me down there in a beaten down car, and we would just like people watch for a Sunday, and I would always be like, hey, why are we doing this? I don't really understand why I should have to watch rats run from a dumpster outside of the CVS for like an hour.
Sounds good.
And then usually it was like to see his girlfriend that he probably paid. But I think it felt a lot of character, and I think a lot of people would probably benefit by driving through Kensington on a Sunday afternoon. Probably in the summer, but you're gonna want to keep your windows up. All right, thanks, guys.
He sounds like a cool dad.
Your dad was copying drugs. But you know what? Those are formative experiences. Those do build character. Your dad was almost certainly seeing a woman who, either with or without his consent, let's say with, was prostituting. She lived in an apartment with no piece of furniture worth more than $25, and they would occasionally use together. That's what was going on there. Did you ever have to wait in the? So my father was a compulsive gambler. Is a compulsive gambler. You don't actually get to the other side of that one. In the same way, my early memories are going into an OTB or waiting in the parking lot of an OTB, and that is this is daddy needs to cop memories. Eric, do you have any daddy needs to cop memories?
No, but my dad worked in sales for a while. He worked in radio in New York and sold airtime. And I think I was brought to a few shakedowns, you know?
Okay.
I think
so it was please don't beat me in front of my son.
No, I think he was doing the beating.
Oh, no shit.
Because he sold the airtime, and then people went delinquent on paying for the advertising. So I think we would stop at some place to be like, got to pick up some money from this guy. Just wait in the car.
Mm.
And then he'd go inside, come back, his knuckles a little, looking a little redder than they were when we first got there.
I'm sure. Were we doing the podcast when I had to go to Texas and spend 48 hours with that? He's not a mob enforcer, whatever the fuck he is. He collects. He's a collector for an illegal bookie operation. We were doing the podcast at that time, right?
What year was that?
I don't know. For my job, I had to go to Texas. My old job, I had to go to Texas and hang out with this dude. And after, you know, a certain amount of time, he admitted what he did for a living. He got very drunk and he admitted what he did for a living. And then he later in my trip, he got drunk at a Whole Foods. And because drinking is a big part of you having to do things you don't want to do. And he would get really emotional when he would get like super hammered. He'd be like, man, I have to steal their dogs, you know, because I was asking him questions like, what if they don't have the money? He's like, oh, they got the money. And I said, but no, I mean, literally, these are compulsive gamblers. What if they don't have the money? He goes, here's what you learn. Even if they don't got the money, they got the money. If you take their dog, they got that money all of a sudden. I said, okay. So anyway, this fella got drunk at a Whole Foods and was like, yo, you should come with me. And I said, to collect money? He goes, yeah, you should come with me. And he's like very drunk and very intense and like picking a fight with the bartender at Whole Foods. And I said, I don't think I want to go with you, man. And he's like, no, come on, it'll be fine. He'll be like, you're going to be like the lookout. And I was like, I don't want to do anything that requires a lookout, you know? And he goes, and I spoke to him after he went and I said, how'd it go? He was like, oh, it was fine. It was this soft Indian dude. I showed up at his house and it was his child's birthday. So all I had to do was stand at the fence.
Oh, man. Imagine,
by the way, everybody, if you owe somebody money, put nothing online, because this fella finds the people that he finds by going on their social media and waiting until they say things like, family, you know, just a picture of the fam at Chili's. And then he just gets in the car and goes to that Chili's.
Yeah.
Yep. Looking for you. Don't put anything online. But shout out to that guy. One of the tricky but rewarding conversations I had for 48 hours.
That's fun. I mean, look. This Kenzie who called in, your dad, I think it's regardless of what his motivations were, whatever he was doing.
Getting high.
Whatever. and like what I was saying to you before with your stepkid there, kids need exposure to the world. Now, I'm not saying put them in direct danger, but like you need to, like I can remember the first time I saw a sex worker. Like my dad took me to a fucking Yankee game in the Bronx.
My dad took me to a sex worker.
Yeah, oh, I wish. No,
her name was Violet.
Scott,
what do you think of? And this is the man hour now. All right,
so the man show.
Eric's gonna be talking frank about some hard hitting issues.
Juggies on trampolines.
What do you think about fellas who technically engage in child trafficking by paying for their son to be with an escort, like little boozy got really, the whites did not care for what little boozy was doing with getting his son a prostitute. And I got a couple questions on this. I'll build out from here if you don't mind.
So to answer this question, I'm gonna take inspiration from someone. I mean, this was an older gentleman who was talking about the Roe v. Wade stuff, and he said something that was so black-pilled, but also, like, I felt it, where he's like, they were asking him his opinion, and he was just like, look, I feel how I feel. Doesn't really matter, though. People are going to do it anyway. So what does my opinion on the subject matter? People are going to do it. So that's kind of how I feel about you taking your son to an escort. It's like I could say a million things about it. Little Boosie's gonna do what he do.
Yeah, well, that's a fact. But I guess I just wonder, because I got a couple questions, but the one that is most primary in my mind, who are these women that are prostitutes for children?
Yeah, that is that. It's funny because I feel like, you know, I feel like that's not often the where people's mind goes, right?
Right,
like,
right.
I don't think we in your mind, there's presumptions made about that type of character, you know, the escort. And because she's the one being solicited, maybe we don't dive into what her intentions are or motivations are. And it's sort of like, yeah, if you're bringing a fucking 15-year-old kid to an escort and she's like, you got the money?
It's just like, you've got to be, I just don't understand the person that's not terrified of going, of getting on a list or going to jail for a sex crime against a child. Like what is, hold on, little boozy son prostitute.
Well, here's a question. I mean, does it happen to a degree that it would be,
His son's a concern? 14.
Would it be a concern for a woman like that?
Hold on. Lil Boozy promised his son a bag of money and a woman to perform oral sex. Yeah, look, here's my, I guess everybody was mad at Boozy, and I'm not necessarily backing him on this one, but I'm just saying, like, who is the woman that's like, yeah, I'm, you know what? No worries, Boozy. I got you. I'm gonna blow your child. Like, who is? I just does nobody ask who this woman is?
Well, a woman with very few scruples, I guess.
But not just few scruples, no fear.
Yeah,
because that is such. It's not a good charge.
No, but I guess my question is, does that charge get leveled at these women in a frequency where it would be a concern for them potentially?
Am I pussy? Because I wouldn't blow Boozy's child.
Well, you're a man, and I feel like, as far as pedo charges go, I would imagine overwhelmingly men get hit with them more than women, probably because men are legitimately more often than women. But this situation, I couldn't say how common it is, but you know, presumably way more common. Like this doesn't enter anyone's mind very much, right? Unless it's brought up. Like no one's really out here thinking about this type of situation, which means it probably happens way more often than people realize. I don't know. Maybe women escorts are getting jammed up on these charges. I couldn't say, but my inkling would say, they probably don't get jammed up often enough where it would be a major concern for them. Like, I guess they don't have the fear of this because it just doesn't really happen.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I mean, I guess this is an indelicate way of asking, is this a crackhead? Who is blowing a 15-year-old?
Probably. Yeah. I would imagine there's some crackhead crossover. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
One would guess, yeah.
Thank you for your Kenzie. Your father was being blown by a crackhead, without question. onto the next call in, please.
Right outside Needle Park. Oh, you want? We're doing another message. Hang on. All right, let's see what we got here. Let's see.
Hey guys, Timothy McVeigh here. I was just calling to see, is there anyone subversive left in the world? Thinking about how Steve Albini has become a full-on cuck is really disheartening. Do you think if Gigi Allen was still alive, he'd be a DNC pussy hat resist bot? Let me know. And if you guys have any leads on where to buy a lot of fertilizer without an ID, let the fellas know. God bless.
Yo, see, that's an ideal type message. It was short, it got to the point, and it was funny.
Yeah, I love our gay listeners. I can say this with total confidence. There is no transgressive artists. There are no, at least not none that break the surface. We are in a corporate monoculture that is a stifling hell. Steve Albini, I'm not suggesting that any of our listeners kill him, but he should be killed for sure. And I don't see any I don't see any way out of this because, like, as these corporations just consume more and more, and their spectrum of allowable behavior for people that are under their, you know, their kingdoms, stays narrow, you're just never going to see somebody that's willing to risk their livelihood. The only people that I think are free right now are crypto billionaires. I think that's it. I don't think anybody, I think everybody else is tethered to like a they're all living in Disney's anus is how I feel. So, no, there is no, subversive or transgressive, artists or art at the time.
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, it's like, and I think anyone that's sort of at any moment that, breaks the, you know, if there's any inkling that someone might be a transgressive person, the CIA stamps that out as quickly as humanly possible.
Yes, which, by the way, a little development in the Nexium case. Granted, this is coming from their former minister of propaganda, but it looks like the child porn charges, which were brought super late and seeming like in a very like typical FBI way, when this guy had no child accusations his whole life, but like apparently had a hard drive full of child porn, which is weird that just keeps appearing in a lot of people's, oh, we caught you doing something bad. Also, weirdly, you are guilty of the thing that nobody on the planet can sympathize with. So weird, I guess. Good luck in court. It looks like those charges might seek some. There might be new evidence that was planted.
I couldn't focus on anything you said because I'm looking at someone.
Some mommy milkers.
No, someone retweeted like a TikTok. And it's muted, so I can't hear what this person's saying, but their voice, their face, while it reads probably just as a normal human face to most people, like I think I might have been MK-altered in some way because I'm looking at this person and they look like a horrifying, like I feel like maybe I'm on shrooms right now. Like I feel like they're a horrifying distortion of what a human being actually is. And it's kind of, they kind of almost look CGI to me right now. I don't know. Is this my mind slipping or is this actually like a CGI person that's just spouting propaganda?
No, that's the tissue. The tissue.
Oh, fuck. No, I gotta concentrate on my spirit.
Yeah. The spirit blood brain barrier.
No. Fuck, man. TikTok freaks me out. I swear to God. It's like, it's, you ever see Videodrome?
Yes.
Or like, do you ever see, what is it, Bloodsucking Freaks, the trauma movie where the guy, like, he has like a weird little like dance theater and he like hypnotizes people?
Mm.
Fuck, that's what TikTok is, man. God, it's so scary. I hate it so much.
Here's what I'll say. I don't think it's as bad as people say because...
Oh, no. They got you.
It's people doing... Like they have to make something, which I think puts it above Instagram. Because if you think about it, some of these TikTok kids are clever. Nobody on Instagram is clever.
But this is a CGI mutant. This isn't a person.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
this is a facial tic propagandist. It's you're getting taken in, man. You got to reconvene with your inner Kaczynski.
I'm grateful that we have bombers calling in to our show. So please onto the next unhinged weirdo.
Our listeners have great senses of humor.
You think he's kidding?
I have to say that legally. Just in case. Let's see here. There was something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember what the fuck it was. That's another thing. I really think like the internet has like eroded our attention span, or at least mine. I forgot that I had licorice in the backseat of my car, and I found it today, and I was like, holy shit, I forgot I even purchased this. And I was excited to purchase it.
Wow.
I think my brain is like eroding, dude. It's crazy.
Because of licorice?
No, probably because of the vaccine. Anyway, here's another here's another message.
Holy fuck, you guys don't like make any space for us to... I just slowed the podcast down to 50% and then re-enter. All right.
What?
Last time I called, I said something about eating crayons and you guys mistook that as a barbecue restaurant.
What?
I guess this time I'm calling about like feather bones, really? Oh. I was at your show, man. Pat. I was trying to make it work. I got burned. I got burned at a church show and I fucking belly flopped from 7 feet.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I'm going to be that way a little bit, you know? Like, yeah, ask the broader shoulder dudes to come forward. But, like, I'm going to have to resubscribe to your Patreon just to hear your response to this. Thank you and good evening.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Enjoy whatever direction a toilet flush is in Australia.
Is that Kenzie's father?
I think this person has a concussion.
That dude is loaded.
Yeah, I don't know what was up. What was he? He was talking about... He said something about eating crayons and that we thought it was a barbecue restaurant. I don't remember this conversation at all.
Now, listen, everybody only call when you're totally cockeyed, when you're really out to lunch.
Yeah, this person is fucked up. I don't know what to even make. Is there anything in that message that we need to address?
No, we got to let that one go.
We got to let it go. All right. I don't know what to say about that, man. Best of luck to you. I wish you nothing but the best. Is there anything in the news that we didn't like mention? Like, is there like what other besides? I feel like there was things going on before Roe where I was like, oh, we're gonna talk about that, and then like Roe hit, and it was like, oh, that kind of sucked all the air out of everything else.
Okay, so yeah, Roe is stepping on us, but there was. I just want to respond to something I saw on Twitter, which was. People, you know, like shit libs essentially dunking on this idea that you and I have, that basically all intelligent people have, which is, oh, it's crazy how people just swing from one hysteria to the next. You know, I always say, remember the Amazon, right? Like and these people were dunking on it, being like, yeah, it's crazy. Isn't it crazy how circumstances keep occurring? Isn't it crazy how time is linear? And it's like, no, my guy. No. You straw manning piece of shit. What people are suggesting with this is that your zealous take of every single new, your adoption of every new thing with the same pitch mania that you have for the last thing.
Yeah. With your screeching moral preening.
Yes. That's the thing. It's not that one thing happens and then another thing happens. It's that, Ukraine and Roe v. Wade are the same volume for you. And only one of them affects your life in any way. So,
and they both made you forget about COVID.
Oh, remember COVID?
No, and I never will. I'm dating someone now, and we went to a thing on Friday, and I was in a rush this morning to leave as we had plans, and then she sent me something that like got sent to the people who bought tickets, like someone tested positive for COVID, just need to let everyone know. And I looked at it and I was like, listen, baby, I do not have anything inside of me that can muster giving a fuck about COVID anymore. I just can't. Do you want to go do this thing right now or not? And she was like, yeah, let's do it.
Listen, I walk into true COVID, true real COVID hours all the time on tour. I don't give a shit. It is what it is.
Don't give a shit. Also, I remembered what I wanted to say before. Can I talk about it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Madison Cawthorn.
Oh, I don't understand this.
Okay. So he's some young Republican guy. I guess he's like the youngest Republican guy in the Washington or what, I don't know, whatever. He does a thing. He's like a representative or something. I guess recently he got jammed up because, well, I suppose they found photos and texts of him talking sexually with his cousin. This just happened over this past week. But I just want to remind everybody.
First cousin?
Perhaps. But I just want to remind everybody, because we memory hole things so quickly, I want to take us back to the far off time of March 28th, 2022. Probably not a single person can remember what was happening that week. They would probably say, Ukraine? I don't know. Madison Cawthorn let it slip in some interview on some podcast where he said that he's been invited to cocaine orgies in Washington.
Oh. Okay, this is cocaine orgy guy, yeah.
Cocaine orgy guy. So very clear. I mean, we can safely presume he's talking about the Moloch parties, right?
Sure.
He's talking about the skull and bone sucking fucks. Right.
Yeah. The AOC blowbang.
Yeah. You get inside a coffin and you use the skull of Geronimo as like a tanga egg, and all your brothers watch you, and then they give you the pass to run for president. Right.
That's right.
So isn't it interesting how like a month after he talks about the Moloch parties that they find a bunch of pictures of him fucking his cousin?
It is interesting.
Okay, that's all I wanted to talk about.
That is for sure interesting.
Disclaimer: I do not feel compelled to support Madison Cawthorn in any way. I think he's a stupid name.
It is a stupid name.
Dude, names are son Madison. You're destined to be a young Republican. You're naming your son Madison.
I don't. There's a lot I don't understand about. Like, do we think that he was sexting his cousin? That's not a plan.
Maybe.
I think probably. Do I think that it was exposed because he let it slip about the AOC Girls Gone Wild party? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
so, 100%. Yes, it's no coincidence.
Yeah. You know, skull and bones. We know what goes down. We know the CIA has a heart attack gun. They just point it at you and then you're dead.
Yo, I follow people online who are so mad about Havana Syndrome. I've never seen people madder about something. Like
mad in what sense?
That it doesn't exist and this is pseudoscience, but it drives them insane that it keeps getting repeated. And I think it's funny because, yeah, I mean, I don't. Is anybody losing sleep over Havana Syndrome? Like, why do you care so much that it's fake?
There's people that think it's fake. It's not fake.
Oh, there's people that maintain it is completely a media creation.
No. who's saying that? See, that's how you know it's real, though, right? Like, that's when people like protest too much. It's like, oh, okay, it's real. Like, remember when the Hunter Biden thing happened, the Hunter Biden laptop, there was so much insistence from blue check shitlibs that were like, this is Russian disinformation. Like, there was, like, they didn't even know what it was.
Remember that word, accountability?
There was so much, like when people jump to say something's not real when they don't even get it, I'm like, oh, it's real. Just confirmed it for me. So the fact that there are people that feel strongly about the fact that Havana Syndrome's not real, you fools, you just confirmed that it is for me. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, no, that's okay. Yes, that's a fact.
Like, come on. Like, what? There's like, when you listen, you just can't pearl clutch at everything. You just can't. And if you're pearl clutching at a thing that you don't understand, it means you're psyoping people. That's what that means to me.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You know? Listen, everybody. Don't get psyoped. Don't if you don't understand a thing, and you're getting lectured to by someone who also doesn't understand a thing, don't take the bait.
Us.
Well, yeah, but just listen, we're real G's.
Well, that's a fact. Do we got time for one more before I have to destroy a bathroom?
Yeah, let's do one more message before you got the that shit.
And everybody, I'm in a rhythm now. We can we will do overtimes just about every time, but I have to use the other toilet in my own house because I'm about to put some hurt on this bathroom.
Yeah, no overtime this week, but we'll do a Patreon episode. Maybe we'll do a Rub Maps Patreon this week for you.
No, that'd be good.
All right, one more message.
Did nobody enjoy our comments from Alice in Chains? That's like my favorite thing that we've done in forever.
Oh no, people like that. People like that.
YouTube comments are like the new frontier. That's like the new Rub Maps for me. I'm very pleased by it at all times.
You're a longtime fan of YouTube comments. I mean, they are great. I enjoy a good YouTube comment.
Oh, by the way, the My Chemical Romance I don't even know how to describe this. The My Chemical Romance fan YouTube thing that I think we watched for 10 seconds. And I left a comment saying, great work. Keep doing what you're doing. That was like a month ago. And they hit me back with a like on that comment. So everybody, they saw it. They saw it.
You know how you can tell when a friend of yours, who maybe you don't keep up with too often, but you text maybe a couple times a month. You can tell when they get a girlfriend because they send you a TikTok.
Oh, that's a fact. that's exactly what it is.
One of them just sent me a TikTok, and it's like, oh, he's dating somebody.
Because living with my girlfriend, my TikTok consumption has gone up roughly 1,000%.
Of course, see, you've fallen into the spell.
I will say I haven't watched very much, not as much as you'd think. We are actually watching Selling Sunset together and just religiously Googling every aspect of it. If nobody's seen Selling Sunset, it's about real estate agents selling $5 to $75 million homes in the Sunset area of Los Angeles. And everybody is a chaotic whore, and it is so fucking crazy to, like, you're all making money, and I understand you're on a reality show. This is the part that really women listening to this are going to be frustrated with my take, because I watch these reality shows and I forget that they're reality shows that have to create chaos and drama. So I'm always watching them going, oh, why don't you get along? You could make so much more money. And I understand that that's not it. I get it in my heart. I understand. But when I'm watching these shows, I go, it's so weird that you women have to fight instead of become multiple millionaires on your own terms. Eric,
yeah, but isn't the show itself enriching them?
Yes, it is. And this is what I got to remind myself, that they need to get into it. But, like, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Let's say that you, at your current job, your two most immediate bosses died, and you were made the boss, and you were getting that boss pay. Are we small minds with low ambition because you and I would choose to resolve things in a way where we continue to make money?
Well, it depends. Are we being televised? Because if we're being televised,
I guess that's the wild card. You're right. This is me being stupid. I watch these shows and I go, oh, no, girls, don't fight. Don't fight. There's so much money. And I get it. Yes. I'm in a
trap. If I hate on TikTok, is it the Pete Davidson effect? Does it make me sound misogynist?
Oh, no. Who gives a shit?
No?
Misogyny's back, baby. I just called everybody a chaotic whore. It's Misogyny is back. Everybody understands, like, that shit from the last few years where you couldn't make a joke because people thought that misogyny was like this binary thing where you either were a misogynist or you're a good person. People now understand, oh, hey, everybody's got little gradations of things that are just little sand under their saddle, you know, like maybe something just irritates them. They're going to get it off. It doesn't speak to anything larger about them necessarily. Like, and oh, sometimes people can say, sometimes people can have totally uncool views, but they're not so egregious that they take them out of society. Right?
Uncool views.
Yeah, some uncool views.
Here's an uncool view. I fucking hate TikTok. I hate the interface. I hate the way it looks. The way
I just
it's
think
presented.
You're a boomer for this.
I hate everyone that uses it. I don't think it's funny. I think it's hacking your feeble minds.
I think these people are clever as hell. They do like bits. They do like complex bits. You and I do a podcast for years. There's days where I don't say a single funny thing.
It's fine though. At least we're real. We're real G's.
Oh God. Oh, you sound like the girls on Selling Sunset.
Yeah, bitch. I had an idea, a show called Shelling Sunset, where they just carpet bomb Sunset Boulevard into the fucking Stone Age.
Oh, listen to you.
What?
You got a little play on words there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm clever. See, I'm a fucking. See, to take this. Yeah, you think the TikTok kids are fucking clever?
Yeah, no, you. By the way, Pete Davidson just got like a cartoon or something.
I hope he dies.
They keep giving.
When will the Moloch cult be done with him and throw him in the garbage?
When they're going to suddenly find child porn, like a brick of child porn in his house, and they're going to be like, "Oh no, Pete's done."
Pete Davidson's gonna be like, Bernie Sanders, pretty good. I like him a lot, actually. Boom, child porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no. Hillary Clinton, I think she like killed a guy, right? Boom, child porn.
Here's the thing. You don't get in trouble for saying, yeah, we need Bernie now, because Bernie is lip service. Bernie's not a real person. Bernie is a bot.
Hologram.
That exists. So supposedly left leaning Dems can clear their conscience of this stuff and be like, oh, if only Bernie was a viable candidate, you know, I'd vote for him. Like,
yeah.
So instead, I'm gonna vote for Moloch herself.
Yeah. No. Bernie is a tulpa projection of he's distraction. He doesn't occupy the physical realm. All right, let's do one more message and then let's get the fuck out of here.
The poo is on the precipice.
All right, last thing. All right, Talcum X. Talcum X. All right, this is a new term. It's a white person.
No, you're old.
Simps/.
No. This guy's old, though. That's what they call Sean King.
Apologizes, is overly apologetic towards black people. Uh-huh. The term is Talcum X. I just heard about it. And it is quite possibly the funniest phrase out of the new generation that I've ever heard.
It is very funny, but they already did this for Sean King.
What do you have to say about Talcum X?
All right, guy. Did someone just watch a Spike Lee movie?
It's Sean King, right? That's the guy that says that he's black, but everybody's like, no. Is that the guy? So that they call him Talcum X, and to validate this guy a little bit, the first time I heard it, I giggled like a motherfucker. So yes, it is funny. It is a funny turn of phrase. But look, I think that whole like simping for black people thing is on its way out, just because I think black people got tired of it. I think that's just what it is. I think that we're not going to see a ton of Talcum X moving forward. I think. What do you think is responsible for this quote unquote vibe change? Because it's happening quick. I don't know how to describe this person. I saw somebody in an industry refer to it and tell people to be ready to get fired. I want you to think about that. Like, hey, the vibe is shifting. If you are, they didn't say, you know, if you were, hired because of your opinions, you're going to be fired because of your opinion soon. They didn't say that, but they did say that. And What do you think is who is sending the signal to all the they live zombie alien people that the vibe is changing?
What do you mean? What do you mean by vibe? Like, explain what you mean by vibe change.
Like, the fact that there's going to be fewer Talcum X's in the future.
Oh, well, I don't like, is it, maybe it was the Jussie Smollett thing.
You think that broke everybody?
I think there's been a couple of things that have happened in larger culture that have sort of run counter to the narratives that we told ourselves from the previous couple of years. Oh, yeah. So, and no one's addressing it, but we're all internalizing it, I think.
You know what? That's probably exactly right. Because I keep seeing people, the more that Amber Heard just keeps getting exposed, people keep going, when are we going to talk about this? And it's like, oh no, we're never going to talk about it.
No.
We're just going to internalize it, as you said.
We're going to internalize and move on and wait for the next thing to, you know.
This is something I want to share. If you got this far along in the podcast, I just want to share this with everybody. I was walking with my girlfriend's son the other day. We were walking the dog, and he said, out of nowhere, he goes, "Were you very far from 9/11? and I said, pretty close. And he goes, "Yeah, my mom said you were across the river." I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "They never identified the falling man." And I said, I said, "That's true. They probably won't." And he says, "Pretty sad." And I said, "Yeah, it is." But I just like, kids are, you know, kids are very, very random. Their brains work like TikTok. They'll just go, "Oh, yeah, my mom groomed the dog for an hour today. Falling man was never identified." And you'll go, you'll say, "Pardon? What's the link?" And you'll be like, "Oh, it's your brain just operates like it's a Roblox lobby."
God bless. I mean, that's what's, you know, listen, if you and your girl are going to be looking at TikTok, I hope you're doing the Chinese method and just like only watching ones that like teach you how to be good at skills.
No, they're the ones that teach me how to be a loyal servant of the state. Which, by the way, if anybody wants to play me and my future stepson in Fortnite, my name is Saddam 518, and his name is, this is the weirdest fucking thing in the world, his name is not Steve, but his name on Fortnite is like Steve 00284 something like that, where I'm like, Steve? And he's his name's not Steve. It's really weird. Anyway,
it's a good bit.
I'm gonna shit my pants. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Everybody, patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. We'll do an episode this week. 205-509-9785. Call and leave a message. At WP Timeline on Twitter and worstpossibletimeline@gmail.com. And that's where you can go and you can hit us with all your bullshit and we'll get at you.
When you're hammer drunk.
Only call if you're hammered or if
you're off those perks.
Yeah, if you're on those perks or you can give us a ground report of Kensington.
Please. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.